Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day in Groton, and it's a little chilly this morning, but it's nice and toasty inside here. And I'm just praising the Lord. And we sang a song called It's All About You. It's called Heart of Worship, and it says, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. And this week, it's been, in my life, things telling me it's not about Jesus. And I've come back to Jesus all week long. Come back to him, come back to him, come back to him. And all of a sudden, things get better. You know, you take the focus off yourself and put it on Jesus. And who cares about all this other stuff? Like it says in one of the other songs, the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That is very, very true. And I recommend that to everyone out there to think about him. When things come against you, and, you know, like Charles said last week, my flesh is the thing that's the most coming against, the thing that is my worst enemy is my own self. And that's really true a lot of the time. I mean, it's not that we don't get other stuff barraging against us, but our flesh is the closest thing to ourselves, and it's always there. So I exhort everyone to praise the Lord when those kind of things happen. And when those things come against us, to focus on him. And allow him to do that work in us that we know that he promises he will do and finish in us until the day of Jesus Christ. So I hope everyone has a wonderful week in praising him.
Amen, Karen. And while we were singing that song, I was actually thinking about some very similar things that you mentioned. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Now, I, like you, Karen, seem to find myself at many points saying, well, you know, without even realizing that it's all about me. And it's all about what I want. And that's not worship, is it? Well, I suppose it could be self-worship, but that's not the type of worship that I want. So why is it that that's what I'm doing? Right? And if anybody else is like you and me, you know, it's a constant struggle. And it's something that we're going to need to overcome. And I see, you know, in my children that, you know, they're just a great little reflection of what goes on in my head. Because I see that, I mean, for them, I mean, it's all about them. Every single one of them. And it doesn't matter what I say or what I want, you know, as their father, it's all about them. They'll actually hesitate to ask me permission to do something if they think I'm going to say no. So they'll go to their mother and they'll ask her with the hope that, well, maybe she'll say it. You know, and vice versa, depending upon the situation. I mean, they make that judgment on, you know, who to ask, you know. And sometimes it works, and, you know, because I didn't realize, you know, Melanie had said one thing or whichever, or, you know. And it's just, it's not right. Now, to apply to me, I mean, how often do I go to the Lord already having made a decision? And I go down and I pray, and all I'm looking for is him to justify the decision I made. I'm not asking for his guidance on a thing. I'm not asking for his counsel. I'm not asking for his wisdom. What I'm asking for is for him to justify me in what I want. And that ain't right. I should be going to him. I should be looking for His wisdom, His guidance, His counsel, and whatever answer that is, whether it's pleasing to me or not, is the answer that's right. And I would like to get back to the heart of worship. You know, I want it to be all about Him, all about Jesus. And if that's truly what I want, then that's what I'm going to do, because a man does what a man wants, right? Now, in the Scripture, it says, I mean, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened, right? Now, when we ask and we don't receive, and we knock and it's not open, why is that? It's kind of like my children. I mean, they might ask me, you know, to do something, and I'll consider it and decide, well, you know, that's not a wise thing to do. That's dangerous, you know, what have you, you know. I mean, Bodie wants to drive the tractor. You know, he can't even reach the steering wheel, you know. And for me to say, yeah, man, go ahead, I mean, that wouldn't be a blessing to him. So, I guess what I'm getting at is that the Lord, He's, you know, like a good father, He's looking out for each and every one of us. And not only does He want to correct us and guide us in the proper manners, but He's going to, you know, not honor certain things that are going to be detrimental to ourselves. And that's what I want. That's what I need. I need that guidance. And if I can receive that guidance, then I can pass that on to my children. You know, especially at this age. I mean, that's something that I hadn't had. That's something that I hope for them.
Thank you, Scott. You know, I mean, I understand that boat you're in. And because I happen to be in the same boat, and unfortunately that boat has a lot of holes in it. And if you're not careful, it'll sink on you. And I know that I also find myself in the same situation where I don't, you know, seek the counsel of those above me or counsel of the Lord when I do something. I want to be justified in myself.
As you ask forgiveness and permission.
It is. Well, I'd like to go to a couple places this morning. I was sleeping this week, believe it or not, and I woke up and two verses kind of popped into my head, and I thought they were interesting, so I'm thinking it's of the Lord, because what they do is they actually speak almost of the same thing, but they're different. And so I know that they popped in. I'm sitting there going, okay, you know, as I can't sleep, and I go, all right. So I trust the Lord that maybe it'll come out. It'll come out quickly. I'd like to start at 2 Corinthians 12. Now, of course, Corinthians was written by Paul. And as we know, one of the things that we've been talking about, you know, we've been talking about our faith and how it has to be boiled and how it has to be tried. Because it has to be purified. Now, of all people who we have account and history of in the Bible, I would think we probably have Paul's account of having his faith tried and boiled probably more so than anybody other than Jesus and, you know, other than a very few. I mean, we have a very good account of what he had to go through to reach that point of perfection so that he could enter into heaven and through faith and stay in heaven. And so, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such as one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up unto paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. So here we have a story, or here we have Paul testifying that he was caught up to heaven, and he was showed all the glory. He was showed the glory of heaven. So he got to see the heavenly city. Now I'd like to go to another verse. I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of doctrines of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, we got two situations here. And let me see if I can make sense of this. Okay, first of all, we have Paul. We have Paul who was taken up to the third heaven. He was shown all the glory of heaven, and he saw the things of heaven. In Hebrews 6, here we have Paul talking about having entered into heaven, not himself, but once we enter into heaven, and we have partook of that heavenly experience. I mean, actual been there. That if we fall away or if we sin, that it's impossible to stay there. Now, if I can liken this, it's like the same picture, but it's different. It's different in the sense that I likened what popped in my mind. What likened to this, the first passage too, is, have you ever walked past a restaurant? You walk past a restaurant and you look in the window and you see a wonderful steak dinner with lobster and all that good food, okay? And you're sitting there at that window and you're admiring that window and you're admiring all that food, but you're on the outside of that window. You're on the street. Okay, you have not partaken of that food. You have not partaken of that feast. But you're looking through the window and you're seeing it. And you're going, man, I would really like to be there one day. I would really like to get inside that restaurant and eat that wonderful food, you know, and to be in there. Okay. In Corinthians, that's what Paul was talking about. It was as if he was walking on the street, the Lord showed him the restaurant, showed him all the wonderful things in that restaurant, the steak dinner, the lobster, and all the good things, going, wow. I could tell you guys, heaven's going to be a good place when I can get into that restaurant or when I can cross over in there. Now, what Paul's talking about in Hebrews chapter 6 is that if you enter into that restaurant, I'm using restaurant and heaven interchangeably here, if you enter into that restaurant or you enter into heaven and you finally get to eat and partake of that food, that lobster and steak dinner that you've been admiring, if you fall, if you sin, you have no repentance for, you have no sacrifice for your sin. And there was a difference there, is that Paul, in the first reading, didn't partake of that. He simply saw what it was like to be on the inside. In the second one, he was saying, he was explaining that once you make it inside there, that if you sin, there is no repentance for sin. And the key that we're looking at here is, you know, we look at Paul and we look at his walk and we see everything that he had to go through. He had his faith tried and tested. Okay, like we have our faith tried and tested. And why do we have to have our faith tried and tested? We have to get to that point where, as Scott was talking about, that we're able to be obedient and hear the word of the Lord and do the word of the Lord. You know, one of the things that people who don't know the Lord, they look at the world and they say, well, why do we have all this death and destruction? We have this death and destruction because of rebellion. We have this death and destruction because there were people who had partaken of the heavenly feast, been in heaven, and have tasted that, who rebelled and caused sin to enter into the world. You know, where we have to get to that point is that when we walk in and we enter into the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, that our faith is so tried and tested and true and hardened that there will be no possibility of us sinning. And I know that that's one thing that once I heard this, it actually was an eye-opener to me. You know, I know that a lot of people preach that, you know, you die, instant, presto, change, or you're in heaven, you're sitting there for the rest of your life. That's not true. That's not true. And once I came to understand that, it actually was quite frightening to me because I realized that, wow, you know, I may enter into heaven. I may be able to partake of that steak and lobster dinner. But if for some chance I decide to rebel or I decide to sin, I'm going to be thrown out of there. Okay, and I'm not even going to be thrown out even in the sense of I'm washing the dishes. Okay, I'm going to be thrown out in the sense of you're stoking the fire, buddy. And I know that if we allow the Lord to try our faith, if we allow the Lord to purify that faith, if we keep on putting our faith in the Lord, just as you saw Paul go through things, we too will reach that mark of perfection. You know, that mark of perfection is perfect faith in the Lord. And if we can reach that mark, when we're finally able to partake of the things of heaven, and I'm talking about not looking through a glass and looking into the restaurant, so to speak, but I'm talking about actually partaking of the things, we'll be able to stay there. And I know that, personally, I think it would not be very pleasant to be the first one to be tossed out of heaven. I mean, can you imagine that? You know, you're sitting there and the Lord says to do something. Well, I want to. You know, that's not a very pleasant thought. It's not a pleasant thought to think that you could lose your salvation and go to hell. But I realized that if it wasn't the case, heaven would be no different than earth. Heaven would be no different than earth because people would do their own thing. People would do whatever they pleased. People would be their own gods, as we talked about. It's really what you were talking about. We can't have that. We cannot have that because in there, that is making ourselves God. We have to put Jesus Christ first and foremost in our life. And if we allow the trying of our faith, if we allow the boiling of our faith, we'll be able to enter in there and partake of the heavenly things and feast upon those things with joy and rejoicing. And all the wonderful things that the Lord is. But we have to be able to get to that point where we can stand. And I know that, you know, I probably didn't do a very good job explaining this. But I thought it was interesting. You know, because we're looking at the same thing. We're looking at it from two different perspectives. And how do we know that Paul did not partake of the heavenly things? Because if he had and had sinned, he would have been gone. Okay? He saw it. He didn't partake of it. But he gave us warning that if we do partake of that, we have to be we have to have our faith on the Lord. I guess that's it, and God bless.